Job 42, verses 1 through 10. Job answered God, "I'm convinced you can do anything and everything. Nothing and no one can upset your plans. You asked, 'Who is this muddying the water, ignorantly confusing the issue, second-guessing my purposes?' I admit it. I was the one. I babbled on about things far beyond me, made small talk about wonders way over my head. You told me, 'Listen and let me do the talking. Let me ask the questions. You give the answers.' I admit, I once lived by rumors of you. Now I have it firsthand, from my own eyes and ears. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I'll never do that again. I promise. I'll never again live on crusts of hearsay, crumbs of rumor." At the end of his life, the end of his story, Job finally looked back, and maybe for the first time, truly discovered who God really is. Matthew 6, verses 5 through 10. "And when you come before God, don't turn that into a theatrical production either. All these people making a regular show out of their prayers, hoping for stardom. Do you think God sits in a box seat? Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense His grace." Repeat. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense His grace. Once more. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense God's grace. The world is full of so-called prayer warriors who are prayer ignorant. They're full of formulas and programs and advice, peddling techniques for getting what you want from God. Don't fall for that nonsense. This is your Father you're dealing with, and He knows better than you what you need. With a God like this loving you, you can pray very simply like this: "Our Father in heaven, reveal who you are. Set the world right. Do what's best. As above, so below." Here ends our scripture reading. My friends, two quick incidents. One I read, believed to be the truth because I had a similar experience. This was a very dignified, I'm not that much dignified, but this was a very dignified minister, was visiting a woman in a nursing home, and she was confined to a wheelchair. So finally, after a good visit, he stood up to leave, but the woman held him back for a moment and said, "Please, Pastor, will you also pray with me?" Well, after all, he's a professional. That was his job. So he gently took her hand and he prayed. that God would be with her. God would bring her comfort, strength, and healing. So when he had finished the prayer and stood up to go, her face seemed to glow. And she said softly, "Pastor, now would you help me to my feet, please?" Not knowing what else to do, he reached out, he helped her up, and at first she took a few wobbly steps, and then suddenly she began to jump up and down, and then to dance, shout, and cry with happiness, until the whole nursing home was aroused. After she was quieted, the solemn pastor hurried out to his car. He closed the door, he grabbed hold of the steering wheel, and he prayed, "Lord, don't you ever do that to me again." I was a young student in Stellenbosch, and as a student got an opportunity to stand in for the pastor in Observatory in Cape Town. My very first experience in my life with visiting people in a different capacity. And I was reminded when I prepared this of that one special day in my life when I made my first visits as a young, not even a pastor, as a young student. And prayed specifically that day with a gentleman who was really ill, had to go to his room. We couldn't meet him in the living room. And we prayed together. It was a good visit. And when I left, I was just walking down to where my car was parked when his wife came out, and she said, "Whoa, would you just come back for a moment, please? My husband wants to tell you something." And went back, and by then he had caught up with her, and he came from inside. He actually got up out of his sick bed, and the tears were running, and he said, "Young man, I just want to tell you thank you. While we were praying together, something happened, and I just found the strength, and I just want to tell you this." Well, afterwards, that really got to me. And I learned one lesson, that in ministry, careful. Careful that you don't get so busy with a holy God in God's service, and before you know it, you say idle words, because that's the way they're supposed to be said. Until one day when you discover, "I'm so terribly alone." Then it's time. Then it's time to open up to God. Sad humor in this story is that this minister was doing his job, and he prayed as he thought, as he was supposed to do. But it's obvious that he said that prayer without faith, without expectation, without expecting any results at all. His prayer was nothing but empty phrases. So in other words, was he bad? No. He was so very human. So very much like us. And Jesus was aware of this weakness that we have. And even then, people were the same, and he had to speak to his disciples about this. He said, "Remember, when you go in prayer, whose presence you enter." Now, Jesus guided and taught us, spoke very often, very directly about communication with God. Even gave us words to help us how to pray. And Matthew recorded that Jesus said, "Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage, and then the focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense God's grace. Wow. How many things do we have to get out of the way when we pray? Till the moment we discover, I am in the presence. And then my heart and my mind and my body and my soul will reach out to God. Awesome wonder. I'm in the presence of God. God's grace is with me. So when we say the Lord's Prayer, what do we mean when we pray for the coming of God's kingdom in our midst? Exactly what are we praying for? Come on, we've all said this prayer thousands of times. When we pray for the coming of God's kingdom, what are we actually saying? Now, just listen from the scripture we read this morning. Our Father in heaven, reveal who you are. Set the world right. Do what is best, as above, so below. See, that was Job's problem. He wanted to set the world right without giving God a chance. Till he finally stepped out of God's way, inviting God to take over for a change. Now, this isn't new in the Lord's Prayer. We believe that the Gospel of Mark was the first of the four Gospels written down, the oldest of them all. And there are many theologians really that think that the other Gospels, at least partially, derived information from the Gospel of Mark that finally found its way in Matthew and Luke and John. Now, in that oldest version of the Gospel of Mark, we learn that Jesus actually begun his earthly ministry with exactly the same message. Now think, through the ages, the first words recorded that we believe that Jesus actually spoke was, "Time's up! God's kingdom is here. Change your life and believe the message." That's what's written. Jesus said, when he stepped onto the public arena, "Time's up. God's kingdom is here." Now, theologians have been working on this one, and I think that there is a consensus amongst most that God's kingdom entered the world and our lives in the person, in the birth, and in the message of Jesus Christ our Lord. The coming of God's kingdom on earth was dead center in the message of Jesus. The message that only God's power can and will renew all creation. Jesus foretold that God's kingdom would be marked by peace and justice on earth. So in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus taught us to pray that God's kingdom must come so that God's will, which is for all our good, be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, in Jesus Christ, says Scripture, the kingdom of God has arrived. And the message of God and God's power moved and inspired the first followers of Jesus. And historians say that Christianity was born because a few devout people were converted from dead living to a God-centered and empowered passion to claim territory for the Prince of Peace. So, when we pray, "Our Father in heaven, reveal who you are, set the world right, do what's best, as above, so below," we are actually asking that God would, through God's Spirit in our midst, shape and give new meaning to your life and to mine, to your faith and to mine, to your and my ways of thinking and doing. After all, Jesus said, if you pray like that, earnestly before God, the focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense God's grace. So the choice is still ours. We can pray, "Let your kingdom come," like a parrot, like that minister who prayed for the woman in the wheelchair, with an idle repetition of words, an empty phrase without real meaning, and remain skeptic and surprised when good things begin to happen and say, "Oh, Lord, stop this. Let me go on praying the way that I used to. Don't you do this to me." Oh, may we all arrive at the moment that we can say from our heart, "God, thank you for finally looking past me and making space in my mind, in my soul, in my body, in my yearning for you. Thank you for revealing yourself even as I pray." I believe that's the heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God, let your kingdom come before all in me and in my heart. And as from now on, I will mean what I say. I will go where you lead me. But God, let your kingdom come and do it also through me. Through what I say, what I do, what I believe, what I witness. You do it, God. Do it through us. And this place will never be the same again. You see the specific order? Jesus says that the point and place of arrival for God's kingdom is deep within each of us. And when we earnestly pray as Jesus taught, reveal who you are, set the world right, do what's best, we do what Job did in his closing speech. Get me out of the way, God. Do it your way. From now on, I babbled like a kid. You take over now. Jesus said the focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin, not my words, as to the Bible says, you will begin to sense the presence, the grace of God. And Jesus drives the point home in Matthew 6:33. Steep your life in God reality, in God initiative, in God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. What a promise. What a promise. Seek God's kingdom. Be in the presence of God. And these other things will take care of themselves. God's promise. And I wondered this morning, when we would start talking about another stewardship campaign, where should our emphasis be? Oh God, let your kingdom come here in our midst. Firstly in me, firstly in you. And then we will steep ourselves in your reality. We will trust you. And we will never have to plead to meet our budget again. Because God's presence, after all, is what our entire ministry is all about. God says in Jesus Christ, "Do my will and fear not. I am with you till the end of time." So as we begin to sense God's grace within us, our hearts, our lives, and our pocketbooks open up to spread the message, Emmanuel, God with us. Strive for the kingdom. Dedicate yourselves to God's word and God's will. We need to discover that anybody can curse the darkness. That's easy. But people of faith, God's people, rather light candles, small and big, to push the darkness back and to bring God's light in and through us to a suffering world. If you and I are only interested in ourselves, stay here to be fed and fed and fed over and over and over again without ever, ever reaching out in God's name, doesn't take much to predict. Then we as a church will become a museum for saints rather than a spiritual haven from where living waters flow. O God, let your kingdom come, not only in my life, but also in the lives of all those who Jesus came for. 67 years ago, this church was brought into existence by men and people of God who sought nourishment, who sought God's presence, who opened these doors wide. A few years later, we became congregational. Congregational were finally taken up in United Church of Christ. We've come a long way. This church always stood for one thing: open doors, welcoming our entire community without unwelcome signals of any kind. It's not for you and me to judge who should be welcomed into a church of Jesus Christ. So if we have no passion or dedication for our church's identity, message, place, and calling, our church would have served its purpose and will vanish from this area. Oh God, let your kingdom come into my life, to our lives, and your kingdom shall be a beacon of light from this pulpit, from the choir loft, from every pew, and we will never be the same again. If there's no passion for deeper knowledge about our faith, then the joy of growing and moving forward in faith will never be experienced. Remember as a young student what Hosea 4 verse 6 did in my life, where it's written, God was speaking to the prophet Hosea. He said, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And because you've neglected knowledge, You shall be my priest no more. I had to accept that. When he took me to the other side of the world. You seek the knowledge. Let us provide opportunities for our people to learn and grow in faith. Let us challenge one another to devote extra times to learn, to grow, to understand our Christian faith. And then, O God, teach us in and through Jesus Christ, through your Spirit. Let your kingdom come. Give us a passion, a real passion for the hungry, the homeless, the helpless, the hopeless. Because unless we do what God calls us to do, our church and our ministry will be nothing but a club to worship in. We would become a place where people play the game of religion like in a concert, and we will be no longer the body of Christ at work in the world. O God, let your kingdom come. Begin in me this very morning. And if we really believe that in the person of Jesus Christ, we have found the truth about God, the truth about the world, and the truth about ourselves, then we have no option. We must share our faith with others who are groping in darkness. Oh God, let your kingdom come. And let me and every one of us be part of the response to your invitation into my heart, into my heart, into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay. Oh, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. What a fantastic time to be in God's service. Right now, at this time, what a fantastic privilege to be serving God through Jesus Christ. We're on to it. We are doing something great. To God be the glory. Great things God is going to do. Amen.